fighting for America.
It's going to be in Cleveland in 2016. The Republican National Committee has chosen Cleveland.
It's not the place you come to sleep. I tell you what, how comfortable is that? Probably won't have any neck problems tomorrow.
Fighting for Idaho.
I kept thinking that you just need to change your slogan and at the beginning of your show. Instead of if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press, it should be if it's Sunday, it's another administration official making stuff up and meet the press.
Fighting for you.
People are sleeping while they drive.
Right, but you see, you should have come out with this. Now we've got to go, and you're giving us the best stuff.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I'm sorry.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. And before we get to our great friend Stephen Yates, we quickly go to Carol in Texas. She used to be in Meridian. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing?
Well, I'm sorry they don't have good talk radio in Texas.
They don't. It's very disappointing. I wish you could get in this market. You really need to. There's what they've done. They've got some guy. They have Glenn Beck in the morning, and
I know, even the dogs, when he comes on, and then
Crumb, and then in the afternoon they've got some guy named Jason West or something, and I don't care for him at all.
Well, apparently the dogs don't care for him either, but
my labs, oh Lord, they're seeing something on the hill, I guess, some little critter.
Hopefully it's not the illegals.
Anyway, yeah, oh well. Anyway, so, disappointed a little bit I haven't had a chance to pay attention to the primary there that occurred. But
Now, Carol, I love you, but we've got to get to Stephen Yates. You can give us a call back, and we'll have some time to catch up.
We'll do that. We'll do that when we can. God bless.
I still have your wedding present, so I appreciate it.
Well, I hope everything's gone great for you and your bride.
I'm still married, so that's
my goodness,
good.
If you ever want to come and visit, you know I'm in El Paso.
All right. God bless, Carol.
Thank you. You too, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, our friend Stephen Yates, that we had a scheduling snafu the last time, so I know he's on the phone going, look, I've worked with Dick Cheney. I've worked with these people. I got things to do. He's talking to some lady in Texas. When am I ever going to get on with this guy? Good morning, sir.
Hi, Kevin. It's great to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit about you and talk a little bit about your company and before we get rolling here on the best of Dick Cheney.
Well, there are a couple of companies that I work with primarily today. One, DC International Advisory, is a company that looks out into the world and assesses political risk for companies the way I used to look out into the world and assess political risk and options for cabinet officials in the past. And so we, instead of having the benefit or the curse of what comes by way of classified information in government, we use the information that we have access to courtesy of the relationships we've built up over a couple of decades of living abroad and working with people from abroad. So that's one area that we work in. The other is a think tank that we have built up called the Hamilton Foundation. It has three areas of focus. One is smart power, has to do more with foreign policy and national security. The other is policy entrepreneurship, trying to apply the discipline and creativity of business to the public policymaking process. The last is positive culture. We've got kind of tired of the culture wars. They're important in a certain way, but the needle doesn't ever seem to move, and people seem to be shy about talking about the positive elements about what makes American culture great, Western state culture, Western civilization great, and we have nothing to apologize for. And so that's sort of the biggest areas of work to try to stay focused on, and part of doing that work is to work with friends in the media to engage an audience, and hopefully people remain interested and get active in sharing their views and getting better informed and influencing policy on their own.
Well, you're our content, because if it were up to me, we'd be in trouble. But is that named after Alexander Hamilton or not?
It is.
I love Hamilton. He's my boy.
Well, I ran into some controversy with a few founding fathers buffs because there are people of strong views about the Federalist, Anti-Federalist debate. But we chose him because he was a rags-to-riches story, and some of us identify with the rags part, not as much of the riches part. And then he was General Washington's chief of staff, So he can't be all bad if he was good enough to be chief to our first president. And he helped set up some of the initial institutions of our country. And so there was a governance and service element to his life that we thought was an important thing to emulate.
Well, at the expense of Senator Burr, he did save us from Aaron Burr, even though he and Jefferson had that rivalry. Hamilton, unlike politicians today, did what was best for the country and backed Jefferson for the greater good.
I believe that, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are tough calls that I think his life exhibits. And, it, you know, we did this not to necessarily lionize him as an individual, but to try to what we see as capture the missing middle in a lot of policy options. So we've gone through this decade of talking about war, of whether we're going to have it or not, and we have neglected a lot of the areas of influence in between those extremes, where America used to do some good, and where we should be helping others do a better job of helping themselves, rather than just looking about where we should intervene and own a problem or not.
Well, when you see your former boss coming back, I don't want to say out of retirement, but out of fishing, which he loves to do, and critiquing,
yes, he does.
critiquing the every time I see Dick Cheney, I think of you now, by the way.
I take that as a compliment, I guess.
It is. What goes on in your mind, and have we really misunderstood the former vice president based on inaccurate media reports?
Well, there's no way the media could capture what he's like as a person. I don't know how much he cares about that being the case. When I worked with him, you know, I was far from the most important person working for him, but had somewhat of a front row seat to how he operated internally. And there's a much more of a grandfatherly quality to the man that I worked with that was unlike the public persona of someone with fangs dripping with blood and, you know, vicious, mean, what have you. Very thoughtful person. He had more liberal friends than I thought he would. And I don't know whether they stay with him to this day, given all the banter in public, but he's got a very inquisitive mind and has a unique breadth of experience. He and Don Rumsfeld both, I think, have unmatched range of experience, from having run for political office, which is a unique experience, working within leadership in the Congress, having been chief of staff to a president, having been a cabinet secretary, a vice president, CEO of a major corporation. And people pick and choose the things they want to drill down on him about. But you know, I just don't think we're ever going to match that range of experience again. And for me, I just wanted to be there and try to absorb as much as I could about how he thought and what from his experience led him to see particular needs in government and how government should function. And I can say from some experience, government didn't function even when we were at office the way he thought it ought to, more often than not. But he also had a respect for process and a respect for presidents. And there's only one of them at a time, and your job as a top advisor to them is to basically give advice, and they're under no obligation to take it. So a lot of things that I learned about leadership and process and understanding the world from him. He now, as he looks at the way things are going, he has chosen national security as a very, very high priority. He set up his own organization with his daughter Liz to try to promote a discussion around the country and to basically revive a sense of what's necessary to keep America safe and to project American leadership again, something that has atrophied in his view, and I'd have to agree with him on that.
Stephen Yates with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Now, when you're hanging out in Idaho Falls, you're going home to the family and such, do you ever sit back and think to yourself, I was advising the Vice President of the United States pertaining to real-life important issues and one of the few people in America ever to reach that high level?
Well, I try to always avoid the thought of how wonderful am I for having done different things. I do feel very privileged. But, you know, I also felt a little bit of the blessing and curse of having done those kinds of jobs. The blessings are numerous. I was in the White House. I got up suited up, went back into work on September 12th to reengage with the president, the vice president, and other members of the team to think of how do we as a country heal after that kind of an attack, and then what are the tough tasks we have ahead in a national emergency to pick up and move forward and make sure this doesn't happen again. And that was an overwhelming experience in many ways, but it was also a learning and growing experience. The downside was by the near end, my young daughter began introducing me as, this is my daddy who lives at his office in the White House. And I thought, you know, we did not go through the process of adoption to have a child raised that basically refers to her dad as absent. And so one of the many motivations to hang up my cleats after 5 years and to look at moving got to get into a situation where it's good for family and still able to do the work. And Idaho Falls has been a good balance for us in that regard.
Well, it's great that you have your priorities in order, but one more question about your work in the administration, then we'll get to the present time. President Bush, your thoughts on him, and just like Vice President Cheney, how misunderstood was he? He seems like a very personable guy.
He definitely is. And he had, I think, a very, very strong personal memory. And what I'd say is, you know, he would remember a lot about people, experiences. And I think he understood interactions with people in a way that was more sophisticated than his public image would allow. He reads more than people would give him credit for, and he jokes about that a lot. But I saw him in, I'd say, two areas that just will never leave my memory. One was in that wake of 9/11 when I could see the weight of things on him personally. You could see the tears well in his eyes. There was a day when most of the White House staff came back to work, there was this really run-down, greasy spoon of a cafeteria in the executive office building that a lot of us would go and get our morning pick-me-ups there. And the president himself just stood outside that doorway and shook the hand and took a moment with every single member of staff that went by, no matter the rank. They could have been a secretary. They could have been anything. And you could see the bloodshot eyes, the tears welling up, the personal comments he made. It said something about who he was as a man, and I was just very, very moved by that. The other was he had a meeting with the Prime Minister of Romania, and we had an adoption dispute there where they had cut off some international adoptions. And the president paused the meeting in the middle of a policy discourse, and he just went on for about 5 minutes about the moral and human value of the adoption process, talked about how it had touched his family, spoke about it in terms that were more compelling than I've ever heard a pastor or even adoption advocate ever speak. And I was just, again, blown away. This was the quality of the man. And it was frustrating because that didn't get out. I don't know what the excuse was for that stuff not getting out. There were other things that were less impressive that I choose not to talk about as much. But those two were very, very strong positives that left a lasting impression on me.
Well, you're a young guy to have done so much, and I think it's relevant that we share that with the audience here.
I appreciate that.
Okay, hang on. More coming up with Stephen Yates. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Stephen Yates with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. So how bad... Good. No, I was just trying to figure out a question here. Good to have you with us. How bad is the Middle East when we throw in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and now Israel?
I think we're in the worst situation we've been in a very, very long time. And basically, we don't have good options. And I would be the last person to say that this is very easy. But we've essentially got an administration that's not really trying. So I think we have a legitimate policy question about whether the U.S. has a role and should try to shape events. And there's a strain in both political parties that strongly says, stay out. This is other people's business. I come from a point of view that says we need to live in a world just like I live in a neighborhood with allies. And you know, the way we keep ourselves safe here is to have allies that are capable of containing, dealing with, and hopefully getting rid of threats abroad before they come to us. And when I look at the Middle East, we don't have allies looking at the United States with confidence. We don't have allies that feel comfortable and confident they've got these threats contained. And we've got this spreading cross-border terrorist threat, claiming a caliphate in Syria and Iraq with designs to go further, led by a man that we held in captivity and released because, I think, of some misguided notions of war. And we have a situation in Afghanistan that could turn very quickly the way ISIS is turning parts of Iraq. And we've had this Arab Spring come and go and a lot of less than stable governments with pro-Islamic political forces on the rise. And we don't, as a nation, have the means to have an informed conversation, it seems, at this point. We're still stuck in what I refer to as those stale extremes of an Iraq-style invasion or do nothing. And you know, I just really think that standing by our allies and helping others help themselves is the way to go. So if you looked at everything from the Ukraine to Egypt to Israel dealing with Hamas now, I think we just need to be clearer about standing with allies and making sure they have what they need to do what they need to take care of things in their neighborhood.
What do you think those advisors are doing around the embassy?
Yeah, well, I think that their primary function is probably to have clear plans about how to safely get that very, very large embassy evacuated in case of an emergency. And that emergency seemed very imminent a few weeks ago. It was still a great risk. But that's a large number of people. I think if you, like me, thought that there were problems with the security situation and the response to Benghazi, this would be Benghazi times about 50 if we didn't have people ready and capable to get our personnel safely out and take care of sensitive documents and equipment very, very quickly. But I don't think with that size force that they can do much significantly by way of combat. They are also advisors to try to bolster the capacity of the Iraqi government, but we have a problem there where we don't have a clear objective. We don't have a clear objective in bolstering the Maliki government. We don't have a clear objective of we're there to eliminate the rise of Islamist forces that are fighting the state and basically want to revamp the entire Middle East and eliminate Israel. We just don't have a clear objective. So I oppose the idea of putting more people potentially at risk without some sense of what their purpose is.
One of the things that that embassy is so imposing, it's so big. I've been there once, and it was, you go there, and it's. I think prisons are more inviting to just try and evacuate that to get everything out. Never mind all the infrastructure that we've built and have given to the Iraqis, and gosh knows what's going to happen there. But that embassy, that would be such a huge loss.
It is unlike anything in the world, and there is just no way to conceive of it without putting eyes on it. But it would be an enormous loss. We've lost a great deal in Iraq so far. I know that the country has a fairly established view of the Iraq war, and it's not a positive one. But there were times during this experience where we got our stuff right, and terrorists were on the wane, and the government was standing up an effective administration to basically allow Iraqis to have a life better than they had under Saddam Hussein. That wasn't necessarily our military mission, but it was a positive consequence of the sacrifice that our men and women made, together with a lot of Iraqis and allies that didn't get talked about enough. And we've lost a lot of those gains. And that, to me, is the tragic part. Losing that embassy would be a monumental loss, not to mention a great waste of money.
I don't know how we're going to summarize this, but the latest in Afghanistan that doesn't get reported, and our friends, the Iranians, stirring everything up.
The Iranians part is easy. That's just tragic. We have nuclear negotiations that are going nowhere. We're not going to diplomatically convince Iran that they don't want the world's ultimate weapon. They do. And so we have to figure out a way to contain, constrain, and maybe roll back that threat at some point. The Afghanistan situation, it's tragic in the sense that we just sort of are cutting and running and not leaving even remnants of capacity to help a new government formed there. They're in the process of selecting their new president. They've got a runoff that's getting sorted through. It's contested. But in some ways, Afghanistan is moving naturally in a better direction than dominant media would lead you to believe. Iraq, however, is probably moving in a worse direction even than dominant media would lead you to believe.
Mr. Yates, we'd love to have you back. And again, hopefully I'll either get over there or you'll get over here again and we'll do some lunch.
Love to do that. Thank you, Kevin.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye. All right, our friend Stephen Yates. I mean, here's a guy who we ran into when the Newt Gingrich campaign was in town with J.D. Hayworth. You remember J.D. J.D. now, the big wig at Newsmax, doing a TV show. And here you have Mr. Yates, who's been on all these national programs. I said, hey, could you come on? And he's in his 40s, worked for Bush, worked for Cheney. Can you imagine? And we have a lot. Well, we have Mike Baker, we have Kerry Patton, we have a lot of people. But to whether you like Republicans or like Democrats, to have that experience historically advising the president, advising the vice president, you know, just going into the Naval Observatory, just going into the Oval Office, just going into the White House. I'm so glad that Mr. Yates could share that experience with us. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And we're joined by Coach Greg Carpenter, Napa Little League coach, and some of his players here. Coach, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Kevin. We're really glad to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your team. We've got some players in here at 580 KIDO.
We do. We have Logan Miller, we have Wyatt Storr, we have Bryson Vaughn, and we have Wade Carpenter, and they're really excited to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about your team.
Okay, we are a 13-year-old Little League intermediate team. We play what's called 50-70. We were fortunate enough to win our district tournament, which is local Little League teams. We were fortunate then to go on to our state tournament, which we beat Hayden Little League in a best-of-three series last weekend. And now we punched our ticket to go to the West Regional Tournament, and we will play against 12 teams from the western states, Hawaii, Arizona, California, Alaska,
wow,
Montana, Oregon, and Washington.
All right, what's it like to be around these young men, and why do you coach, Coach?
You know, we've been fortunate to be together now for 2 years. They're a great group of kids, great group of families that we work with. They're sponges. They're picking up the game, and they play hard. They compete anytime they step on the field.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the games and everything else? We'll start from right to left. You go ahead, sir. Yeah, speaking to the mic. There you go. He's got you. You're good. Tell us just a little bit about why you like playing baseball.
I don't know. When I first stepped on the field, I just thought it was the best game I've ever played in my life. And I just like catching behind the plate and knowing that I'm involved in every play.
So you're a catcher?
Yeah.
You actually call the plays then, the pitches?
Yes.
Yeah? Pitcher ever wave you off?
Quite a bit.
Yeah? All right. What about you, sir?
Well, you know, it's pretty fun. And the 7 innings and 9 innings that you play, it's just great. And knowing that you're there with all your friends and hanging out, doing what you love, it's
sure,
just an awesome sport.
All right.
I like hitting.
Okay.
And it's fun.
I just love the game. There's nothing like it, and we've been fortunate to be so successful, and that's always fun, and these guys are like my brothers, so I don't know. It's
that's
great.
Well, it is, and besides what you're learning about winning and such, let's stay on the field. What have you learned about yourselves and your teammates since you all have been together for 2 years on the field? Have you learned stuff about each other and what it's like to win and lose as a team?
Well, you know, you learn who can keep their head and not. And so you always try and encourage the people who can't. And then they just work their way up from there. Because it's all about having good sportsmanship and teammates. And everyone trying to keep their cool while the game's going on.
Sure. Anybody else want to answer that?
I've learned that you got to check your ego. You can't be the most arrogant guy on the field because it's going to bite you in the back. If you're so arrogant, you know, you're gonna be humbled really soon.
Wow, I think a lot of adults could learn those lessons. Coach, let's talk a little bit about your next step here. What's next for you guys?
What's next is next Tuesday, we'll be traveling down to Nogales, Arizona for approximately 9 days, once again, to play in that Western
Regional
Tournament.
9 days.
9 days and Nogales. Yeah, should be quite interesting. Apparently, they're experiencing their monsoon season, so it's not been that hot, and they've been getting a ton of rain.
Sure.
Yeah, we're excited to go play some teams from other states. I'm a little bit worried about that team from Hawaii.
Well, but back this 9 days with the Little Leaguers, that's got to be both a challenge on and off the field, right?
Well, yeah, and it's really surprising to me because none of these guys are very shy when they're at practice or on the field, so it's kind of funny to see them clam up here on the mic today.
Right. For the community that would like to help your team get there, what are you doing, and how involved are the players?
Well, the players every day since we've been back from Hayden have been hitting the streets. They've been contacting their families and friends. They've been going out to businesses so far in Nampa. But, you know, we don't represent Nampa anymore. We represent the state of Idaho. So they're going to be branching out and going in and talking to folks to see if they're interested in helping us out, because we're guesstimating that we need to raise about $15,000 to get our kids down there, just to pay for our rooms when we're down there, and then a little bit of travel for our families. You know, this is a big trip for us.
It is. So here you have these young men here. How do you coach them up, or guys, when you talk to the businesses, what's your pitch?
Speak up, boys.
Here's your chance. A lot of business owners, a lot of people listening right now would love to help you out. Why should they give you money to go?
You know, we're just trying to raise money, and anything helps. And we're just trying to help raise enough money to go there and maybe be fortunate to go farther. But we need sponsors and donations from businesses and big corporates to be able to reach that.
Boy, you know, these are life lessons off the field that they're learning.
They are. You know what I've told them is just tell your story. Tell them who you are and tell them, be passionate about what you do, like they've, you know, kind of talked about here on the radio. Just tell them your story. And people want to help, you know, but they also want to know that this is good for our community as well.
Sure. Anybody else?
This is basically like a once-in-a-lifetime chance, you know. We may never be this successful or go this far again, so we got to make the most of it, and it's just important to have this opportunity and take advantage of it.
Right. What would it mean to each and every one of you to go down there and compete?
You know, it's just an experience that you'll never forget, and you always remember when you're 13 and we're able and fortunate enough to go this far.
Right. Anybody else? All right. Lots of smiles here. Coach, anything else? If people want to get a hold of you and help the team get down there, what can they do?
You know, one of our parents has put together a Facebook page. If you search NVLL Intermediate All-Stars 2014, we have a GoFundMe site and fundraising campaign that people can contribute to. We also have one of our flyers that people can print off. It has different denominations that people can donate to. We're also taking that around with us and handing it to business owners, and they can take a look at it. And if they decide to help us, it's just awesome. We are probably at about $7,000 in about 2 days.
Great.
And so we're close to halfway there. We're real excited about that. People have done a good job for us.
How many hours do you put in with these guys?
You know, I told our parents yesterday, I'm working more at this than I do with my regular day job at this point. But it's been fun, and there's been quite a buzz in our community, and people have reached out. But it's something I enjoy, you know, for these kids.
You know, and they seem to have they're handling the situation well. They seem to have it well in grasp, if you will. But can you say anything to them, and people listening here at 580 KIDO, that, you know, when they're ancient and 23 or 33 and 43, just how special this time is?
Well, it's amazing. And I keep thinking about this summer for them when they go back to school and they get to tell all their friends and their teachers, you know, when their teachers say, hey, what did you do this summer? They have an amazing story, and they'll get to tell it to other kids in our community. There's a group of 12-year-olds in our community, right? Well, in our Napa Valley Little League, who have a chance to go to state and maybe a chance to go to San Bernardino, and they get to tell those kids, hey, keep going, keep working hard, because these experiences will last a lifetime.
Coach Carpenter, thank you. Gentlemen, anything else? Want to say hi, Mom, hi, Dad, anything? No? All right, these guys are pros.
Hi, Bailey.
All right, there we have it.
Hi, Mom, hi, Dad.
All right.
Got Hi, Idaho.
There we go.
Thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate you having us on today.
No, we would love to keep track of you guys. Please let us know what's going on. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Does anybody want to pitch it to traffic or weather? Any budding broadcasters here? Anybody? No. Well,
there's people driving on the road.
Oh, well, yeah. So why don't you say, Ray, why don't we hit the traffic bed here and why don't you just say coming up.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Let's go to the phones, and we'll go to Ronnie in Caldwell. Ronnie, good morning.
Hey, dude. Hey, what's up, man? It's living the dream, right?
Not much.
I wish I could have been in there with those little kids, man. It seems like they needed a Red Bull or something. I was one of the best shortstop players ever here in Caldwell, and I could have given them a lot of tips and advice, man. Sometimes, you know, you just wish you could help those little guys, you know what I mean?
You were a shortstop.
Uh-huh. Oh, dude, I was amazing, man. My buddy played third base. I used to call him Ron Say, you know, because he was so good. But
Ron Say, the Penguin.
I know. Hey, what do you think about these illegal aliens, dude, that are coming in by the truckloads, busloads, and by plane and boat? And everything's just like it's okay, man. I mean, it's sort of freaking me out, dude.
Well, it is certainly scary. And having worked with Bill LeMay, who went to the border, it is very troubling what's happening.
I mean, I heard they got diseases and stuff, and they're bringing tuberculosis in here. But the thing that
all over the place.
I mean, dude, it tweaks me, man, because why can't we get, like, illegals from, like, Sweden or Switzerland or something? Some of those real pretty girls over there with the blonde hair, I mean.
You're saying that the current crop of illegals are not cosmetically appealing?
I mean, dude, you know.
No, do you agree with that statement or not? Is that what you're saying? Your preference is the European as opposed to the Central or South American illegals.
Oh, for sure, dude. I mean, if they had blonde hair and were taller, I would be like, you know what? This is something I could get into. But
perhaps some indentured servitude.
I don't know what that means.
Well, they would work for you for 5 years, and it's like a lease. Then you could trade them in for somebody else.
Oh, dude, that's sweet. See, you've got some good ideas too, man. I mean...
Of course, that went out in the colonial times, but maybe you could bring it back.
I know, and especially if they didn't know how we did things here, like you could just tell them, you know, this is how we do things here, honey, and they wouldn't know any different, and it would be pretty sweet. But I'll bet there's some hot looking Mexican ones, but I don't tend to really go for that. I like the blondes, man.
You know, this has just been a life changing experience.
I know. You know, speaking of that, can I talk about one more thing, or am I cut off?
I don't know. You've been upset with me and accused me of being, accused me of not being... What?
Insensitive.
Yes, because I've cut you off a few times, so...
I know. You know how I am, dude. I go all over the place, man, and the thing that's got me all torqued over here and these stuffy-nosed, turned-up people in Eagle, man... They keep talking about this roundabout, dude, and anybody that knows anything about that, it's always been called a roundy round.
A roundy round?
Yeah, dude, come on, man. We've got them all over Caldwell. It's a roundy round, man. When you live in Eagle, do you call it a roundabout so you can sound like you're from England or something?
I don't know. I don't live in Eagle.
Where do you live?
I live in Star with the governor.
Not a bad idea, dude. It's sort of quiet out there, but... anyways, man, I'm going to, you know, do my old takeout like the old school style. You ready?
Do I have a choice?
3, 2, 1.
Are you still there? Mark in Boise at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Kevin. Good morning. Hey, I got it. Maybe somebody might know about this. The call screener said he made a call, and I called yesterday evening at the studios there and said it was just training for personnel, but I find this a little unusual.
Well, the audience doesn't know what you're talking about.
This has to do with Gatlin Field Orchard Combat Training Center. I get a call, and I can't divulge. But I guarantee you this person is legit, and I know them quite well. He's involved with a company that does government contracts occasionally. They said that they, and they're out of state, that they got a call for tents, generators, and bathroom facilities and food for 650 personnel at the Gallen Field Orchard Combat Training Center. Now, I know somebody's in the Guard Reserve. They just got done with about 3 weeks of training out there. They have no idea what they'd be doing out there, never heard of anything going on out there. What crossed my mind, is this an attempt to ship possibly some of these illegals that have crossed over the border up here and then get them to blend in underneath the people's noses here in the valley? Is this something with Homeland Security and local police and SWAT teams doing training? This is not routine from what I understand. And the other thing is, it's not like we have any disasters going. We're having fires in the mountains around here where we're having people come in. This is a little unusual. When I hear this from two different people who are in the Guard, say they don't know what this is. They have no idea of any training things going on. And they needed it. This came out of the clear blue, and they needed it by Monday. So the first thing that pops in my head, if this isn't some deal with Homeland Security tied in with people here in the Guard for training purposes, for civilian unrest, that more likely this might be to bring in some of these illegals. And if you guys could really delve into it, because your call screener.
So yep, right, and we'll take a look at that. You're listening to 580KIDO. Thank you, Mark. Good morning, Dave. And Kevin Miller with you here. Coming up tomorrow, more issues, more answers, more of you. Have a great day. Tell a friend. Keep us employed. Good day. God bless.